You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Oaxaca, Mexico has been under siege for 5 months. Thousands of people joined with striking teachers and gathered in the Zocalo, or central square of the old city. Trade unionists, indigenous activists, and others formed a coalition called APO. They are demanding the resignation of Governor Ulysses Ruiz and an end to violence and repression. This past week, federal police launched an intense assault on the protesters. Security forces have killed at least 17 people. Dozens of activists from the popular movement have been arrested. Some have been disappeared. Gil Aguila is a member of SIPO, the Popular Indigenous Council of Oaxaca here in Vancouver. He joins me on the phone to give us an update on the situation in Oaxaca and tell us about what Canadians are doing to support the popular, the people's movement. Good morning, Gil.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Much has happened this week in Oaxaca since the federal police moved in on October the 30th. What's the latest information about the situation?
Well, we have seen that the people have responded incredibly to this repression that the federal state alongside the state police have launched. So it is very inspiring to see how when the police try to take over the only community station, radio station, that is left in the city. Thousands of people moved and came to support and defend this space. So this is one of the biggest assaults that the federal police has launched since they came into the state. And it was amazing to see how people reacted to that. So it seems that they are not letting themselves be threatened or scared, even though the actual threat of death is so real and so tangible in the whole state.
Why has radio been so important to this movement?
Well, as you might expect, when the whole city is basically brought to a standstill because of the movement and because of the neglect of the government, there is very hard... it is very hard to connect with people from all other sides of the city. So the community station was taken over as a strategy from Apple to, one, make sure that they had the space that was being denied to them, and two, so that it would be reclaimed for the purpose that it is supposed to serve, which is to help the community. And so we saw that the radio stations were taken over so that they would serve the community, because they were being used as propaganda tools against the movement. That's why we saw Radio Cacerola, or a cacerola is a sort of pot, right? So back on the 1st of August, a lot of women, it was a march of women, who with pots and pans came to the state station and took it over peacefully, and that's why it's called Radio Cacerola. So they eventually lost these spaces because of strategy, but also because of repression. So the radio station right now that is alive is the university station, which is the last one. And it is so important because it gives the people the space to vent, not also just to organize and to say, well, we need to move here or there, but also to call in and say, I'm looking for my dad who's missing. Or we saw some unidentified people pick up a teacher at such and such street and they will go in such and such way. Please stop that car. So things like this are crucial in a movement that depends on each other to defend each other and to also fend off this violence that is being launched against them.
That sounds like an extraordinary example of a real community based radio meeting the needs of a very, very difficult situation. It's quite fantastic. Now, I'd like to look at the broader picture. Can you recap for us how this situation has developed in Oaxaca over the past 6 months?
I'll try, because this is obviously a very complex situation that dates back a lot. So one of the first things that we need to note is that Oaxaca is one of the states in Mexico that has always been a stronghold for the PRI, the Institutional Revolutionary Party, which was the one that was in power for over 70 years prior to Vicente Fox being elected in 2000. So because of this, the state had always been assumed to be basically in the hands of the PRI. Back in May, the teachers organized a planton, which is a mix of a sitting, a picket line, a strike, where they were sitting at the main square. They were demanding both improvements to their working conditions and salaries, but also they were protesting a cutback on the budget for education. So this cutback would mean that students wouldn't have access to uniforms, to breakfast, to books. And remembering that Oaxaca takes turns, basically, unfortunately, between Chiapas, Oaxaca, and Guerrero being the poorest states in the nation, this cutback was massive, and it was a big impact on indigenous communities. Oaxaca is one of the most densely populated with indigenous communities in Mexico. So the response to this strike from the teachers was to send in the police. So the governor, Ulises Ruiz, decided that the demands that they were making were not just. And so they sent the police. Unfortunately, like we say in Mexico, the tortilla flipped over on this strategy. And so the people came out in defense and support of the teachers, and the movement basically grew up from there. So when people realized that the state was basically not making a distinction between repressing indigenous communities, which they always have, and repressing teachers and repressing social organizations in support of teachers, they finally realized that this is something that they cannot just stand and look. And so since then, the teachers themselves have recognized that this movement and their own teacher demands have moved to a second plane, whereas the popular movement and its demands are the ones that need to be fought for first. That's why APO was born, out of this recognition that the movement became a whole society joining together against this repressive governor that was ready to murder teachers in order to maintain its hold on power.
Now, the situation in Oaxaca has received a lot more international attention since the death of Bradley Will, the New York indie media person. What do we know about the circumstances of his death?
Well, we unfortunately are really, we know a lot about this because, and we feel really sad about it, not only because he was a key player on this movement, in the sense that we need international eyes there to make it clear that the people of Oaxaca are not alone. But what I mean by we are unfortunately knowing too much is because Brad was also very close to SIPO. He spent some time at SIPO's house, which is a community house that SIPO built in the city, well, near the city of Oaxaca. And he was basically filming when he was killed. The circumstance was that there's a bunch of paramilitary groups composed of PRI members and also known thugs from the city and the state. We have reports that the jails have been emptied of thugs and murderers who are working in these paramilitary groups. So Brad, along with a lot of youth from the barricade that is very close to SIPO's house, were trying to chase off these groups who were trying to destroy the barricade. So Brad was along this this group of youth, and there were also older men there. The barricades are mostly formed of families. So Brad was helping in his role. He was filming, he was supporting, and unfortunately he was shot by the paramilitaries, who we later confirmed are conformed of this. They're actually officials of the PRI who were there shooting at them.
Now, some people have been arrested around this incident?
Yes, there's been a few arrests. There were reports that there were arrests. Then later on, the La Jornada newspaper found out that they weren't actually in jail, and they are actually on the streets. But they have been identified as members of the PRI. One of them is a local official, a regidor, which would be a local official of this party. And so these people have been identified, and they had been identified from before. So the record is there to show that these people were known to be doing these activities, basically targeting barricades, shooting at them. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen that any sort of pressure is put on these people unless international media starts looking into it deeper. And unfortunately, international media doesn't really care unless there's something like this going on, right? Unless somebody from the international community is actually attacked.
Getting back to the larger issue, I understand the Mexican Senate voted to urge Ulises Ruiz to resign. So why is the federal government sending in troops when they seem to be supporting the demands of APO?
Well, I guess that is a very complex situation, because we have at the state level this struggle for power from Ulises Ruiz, and then at the federal level we have this struggle for power from the PAN. We have to remember that there were elections in July, and the elections are highly disputed, and were highly disputed. In fact, the candidate for the PRD, the center-left party, just recently, I think it was just yesterday, announced its own committee of officials because he doesn't recognize the candidate from PAN as being president-elect. So there are all these political aspects that don't particularly allow the PAN, which is in power right now at the federal level, to basically do a lot, because there is a lot at stake. They are really, really careful right now, trying not to stir more problems, and trying not to cause more civil unrest. It is really hard for us to see that, because they have already done so much. But in that sense, it simply, I think, is a case of this alliance that has developed, in that PAN and PRI are working together, trying to perpetuate the power that they have and not lose it to the civil movements that are arising right now in Mexico.
So it's not simply a matter that they don't have the ability to impeach the governor then?
No. The Senate actually would have this power. They sent a commission to the state of Oaxaca the key here would be that if they determine that the circumstances are not there in Oaxaca for a presence of a state, of a governor, then they have the power to dissolve this and call for elections and to put an interim governor while the elections are organized. But they are not willing to do this. The commission that went to the state concluded that yes, it was a really tough situation, and yes, there were a lot of issues with legality and things like that, but that wasn't enough to declare this legal term of ingovernability. So because they didn't determine that, they argued back then that it was not possible to call for a dissolution of powers.
That's very interesting. So is there then a governmental way to get out of that current bind?
Well, right now the Senate is seemingly taking a stronger stance in asking Ulises Ruiz to leave. So just today we saw that the Senate declined Ulises Ruiz's rebuttal or argument against their recommendation that he should leave. So in a sense, it's really, really key that the people in Oaxaca are not stepping back, and so they are forcing the Senate and the federal government to understand that there is no alternative, because what the people need and want and have struggled so hard for are two things: that Ulysses Reese should be removed from office and tried for his crimes, and that APO should be consolidated as the way in which the people want to organize the state. So, in a sense, there is a way, but there has to be that, I would say willingness of the federal state to actually listen to what the people are saying.
What's APO asking us who live outside of Mexico to do in support of human rights in Oaxaca?
Well, APO has made a few calls for international support. Some of the first calls were for relatively standard strategies, like let's mobilize here, let's sign petitions, you know, let's call the federal government of Mexico. Right now, because of the level of repression that we are seeing, they are also asking for international eyes to be in Oaxaca. For example, we as part of SIPO Vancouver are trying to respond to this need by organizing a team of media from Canada to go to Oaxaca and be on the ground reporting and documenting. I do not know if many of our listeners know her, but Reverend Emily Smith from the Anglican Church has been amazing in her support of the movement of Oaxaca, and she will be leaving for Oaxaca this week. She will be preparing basically the ground for other people who are interested in coming. And so this is a response to this new strategy that APO is asking for all international people who feel they can support in some way.
Okay, thanks very much for all that information and for talking with me this morning.
Well, thank you for the space, and also I'd just like to make the call for people to find ways in which they can support. I mean, they don't actually have to go to Oaxaca, because I know not too many people are able to do that. But please write letters, please call your MLAs, call the Mexican consulate here in Vancouver or the embassy. There are many ways in which we can help, and we don't always have to be going all out. So hopefully people are able to do something. Anything will help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Gil Aguilar. He's with SIPO Vancouver, and as he mentioned, you can reach them at cipo-van@gmail.com or 537-8909.